Well, welcome.
Thank you very much. John Hudson
is already on the call. Say hello.
Hello, Chris. How are you doing?
John Hudson.
Oh, John, I'm excited.
Well, good. I wish I could excite all the women that way.
Some people prefer to stay anonymous.
Hi, this is Alan Bianco from Williams, Oregon.
Hey, Alan.
From Williams,
John.
Welcome.
Hey, Alan, how you doing? Good to hear from you again.
Hi, John. You too.
Hi, this is Lou Harris, Tucson's owner.
See, Lou Harris, one of our most consistent conference call attendees. Hi, buddy.
Hi there.
You're not to be confused with Huey or Dewey.
This is Barry.
Barry, I thought I heard your laugh. Your extremely distinctive tonality.
Hi, Mr. Barry.
Hey there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Barry Carter. Hi, who else we got on?
Susan from Ontario, Canada.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Louisiana.
Hey, this is Adam from Ashland, Oregon.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, Barry.
G'day, Adam.
Hey, Dennis. How's life down south?
Well, it's really bloody good, actually. The day is just getting started here. The sun is risen. The birds are singing in advance. The lorikeets are dancing around my collection of sunflower seeds on the balcony. And all is well. At least all appears to be well, and I'm going with the illusion. if life just seems to be good, isn't that good enough? Who else we got on the call that wants to say hello?
This is Marilyn from Atlanta.
Marilyn from
hello.
Atlanta.
Hi. Sorry, I almost forgot about the call.
Well, welcome.
Well, thanks.
And is it hot for you guys over there?
Oh, yeah.
where John is apparently is 117 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
They seem to specialize in heat.
Yeah.
Where John's from? John being our guest for the day.
Well, Barry, it's got to be about like that.
Where you from.
They made a mistake on the radio. It was only 104 here.
I must have been good, and I missed it. Darn. This is Sally.
Hi, Sally. Good to hear your voice. Where are you from, Sally?
Me?
Golden, Colorado.
I'm in Colorado, in the USA. That sort of sounded like Dennis, but maybe not.
Yeah, it was. Which part of Colorado?
We're in the big collection of humanity in the middle in Denver.
Ah, I used to have a house in Durango in southwest Colorado.
Ah, ranching country, yeah.
I got introduced to the Ute, and they invited me into several sort of meltdown, you know, the Native American sweats. And so, you know, that really defines hot. You know you're really hot in one of those Indian
sweats. Just like a sweat lodge?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Wow.
I got kicked out of the Coors Brewery in 1955 because I was too young.
So we just had a couple other people arrive. Tell us who you are and where you're from.
Someone has to remind me too how to turn off the so that when I do something it doesn't interfere with the call.
Yeah, we'll go into that speech in a moment. Oh, I might as well now. Once we get started, as you guys know, our guest of honor today, John Hudson, the maker of the fabulous white fluffy powder almond, which I rather like. I'd go so far as to say I endorse and enjoy and experience regularly. John, would you tell us a little bit about the main things that people have noticed taking your white powder in terms of results they've got in their lives? And by the way, welcome onto the call, buddy.
Well, thank you very much. I'm rather embarrassed, really. But now the main things that they're finding is an overall better feeling about themselves and a better memory, very nice dreams, and I guess all the normal stuff you get from taking the Ormus. I think the medicinal end of it, we've had some very good results out of Europe. One man with cirrhosis of the liver, another very young man or young boy, he was 15 years old, has never made a sound in his life, is beginning to start making sounds and trying to communicate with people. Another lawyer that having blackouts, and he when he takes the powder, he doesn't have his blackouts anymore, but if he stops taking it, they reoccur. So we don't really know what's wrong with him, but we're trying to keep records on all this stuff, too.
Right.
But I haven't got any final reports on any of them. But the man with cirrhosis, he thinks he's cured, and so does his doctor. And it was all done within 30 days. And I don't know if it was from the white powder or just a miracle. But the other things, the best part I like about it, there's only two people out of, I'd say, at least 300 that I've sent this stuff to said that it had no effect on them, which doesn't surprise me. It has no effect on me either. I mean, I just stay this way all the time. I think Barry can testify to that, and you too, Dennis.
I've noticed that after a while, the new stuff doesn't seem to, you don't seem to notice much of anything. But that doesn't mean that it's not good. It just means that it that the disorientation that you may get when you first start doesn't happen.
Well, the main...
And for you new guys on the call, by the way, that was the illustrious Barry Carter, who has quite a unique voice and a rather odd sense of humor. You'll notice that.
I think the main thing is the non-complaints of anything. I mean, I've had a lot of praise from personal emails from these people that every time I get one of them, it makes me feel that much better. And I'm 69 years old, and I can work 18, 20 hours a day, and it doesn't bother me a bit. So that's one thing that not too many people do anymore. And if I do feel a little tired, if I want to keep going, I can take a little bit more and just keep right on going. But I know better, than to push myself too far. So I usually take a nap every once in a while. But the overall effects of it, I think, have been very good. I mean, it's just more than I really expected. And I sure appreciate it, all you people that have tried it. And I hope you keep trying it.
I guarantee there's heaps and heaps of people, John, who would love to know how this came about, that you are making this fabulous white powder. Would you tell us quickly the history and how this came to you? You came to it?
Well, it was kind of strange the way it happened. I was doing research work for a mining company and had a very nice equipped lab. We had one ICP, we had four AAs that we checked all of our results on, and one day I got a shipment in of some new chemicals, and a stupid mistake, and mixed the wrong things together with a sample that I was doing for somebody, and I didn't have too much of the sample, and I didn't want to waste it, and I mixed the wrong chemicals together, and I found out that one of the chemicals that I used, it was the wrong one, because I hadn't marked the containers I'd put them in, and I thought I knew what I was doing, but I just put it bluntly, I screwed up. But anyway, I found out that I could boil this stuff out of the solution and save my sample, and as I started boiling it, as the volume started reducing and everything, all at once this white powder started coming out of there, and it was just a lot of it. But the strange part about it was, at the same time that I was working down there, I was studying everything that I could on David Hudson's stuff, all of his, not all of his videos, but some of his videos and everything that I could find in writing. I was studying all of this at the same time. Otherwise I would have never known what I had here, because his description of it fit exactly what I had right in front of me, and I just didn't I didn't realize it for a couple of weeks. But there's people there at the plant that I worked in, after I took some of it, of course they wanted to know if it was going to kill me first, I took some of it and told them what it did to me, and they started taking it, and it was doing the same thing to them, and I knew I had something.
Yeah.
But that was in 1996, and I never even tried to sell any of this to them about three and a half months ago.
Oh.
Got some more people coming on?
Just a second. I just muted myself. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
We could hear you the whole time when you were mumbling, Barry.
What happened was I was muting, going through and muting the people on the forum, because I was getting a lot of noise. And I accidentally muted myself on the other room, so that would force off all the sound.
Yeah, we can't have that.
No.
So if any of you guys are in the free room, you missed that last bit. John was saying how effectively he discovered his white powder by mistake, by a laboratory mistake, and then he found out that it was good stuff and started taking it, and his associates wanted to know what it was like, and then I started taking it. When you started taking it on, what did you notice that made you want to continue? What gave you a clue?
Well, it was just the feeling I had. I mean, it was just, I worked fairly long hours, and I was driving 100 miles per day to work and back, and I started noticing that I wasn't tired anymore. I was having extraordinary dreams, and I also started having some kind of, I don't know exactly whether you call it a vision or whatever it was, but I started getting ideas about things that I'd never even heard of before, and the good part about it was I knew that some of them would work, if not all of them. I didn't have the time or the money or the equipment to do the research on it, so I just, kept them in the back of my mind, and one of the things that it did for me, one of the main things it did for me, is I can still remember experiments that I did 11 years ago, right down to the milligram of the sample size of the whole works. I mean, it's like a photographic memory, but it's more or less selective. I can remember the things I want to, or I can kick the other ones out, but I can recall them if I want to, but they just don't, I'm just not reminded of those as much much as I am the important things. The important things I never have to write down. I don't keep any written records whatsoever because I don't need them. And if I was working for someone, I guess I would have to keep written records for them, but I'm not, so I don't. So, I mean, it's as simple as that. The memory part of it is it saves a tremendous amount of time. I mean, writing all this stuff down and everything else, it takes up nearly a third of your time to do all this because I had to keep a logbook when I was doing research for the mining company. And I finally convinced him that, you know, the things that I did that didn't work, I didn't have any reason to write them in a logbook. And it took me quite a while to convince my boss of that. He said, well, you don't want to be doing them again. And I said, don't worry about that. I won't be doing them again. So I could remember all of my mistakes. But now the memory is one of my favorite parts of this whole white powder deal is the memory again, and hopefully it does other people this way too.
Have many other people on this call noticed an increase in their memory?
I've muted just about everybody right now.
Okay, then I want to ask that question. Cancel that question.
I have noticed that it has improved my memory in certain ways and caused me to forget to do things sometimes because I get so focused on what I'm doing right now. But that's getting better.
Right.
I don't know that it will work the same way with everyone, but that's my experience with it. And I've had other people tell me the same thing. I mean, out of probably 100 people that have stayed in touch with me that I've given this stuff to over the past 10 years, I mean, I quit taking it for over 8 years, but it seemed to have a residual effect on me that all these ideas and everything just kept coming and stayed with me.
What did you notice that you lost when you quit taking
it? Nothing. I still had the energy and everything else, but I don't know if it was because I took so much of it. I took a tremendous amount of this stuff in 1996. I'm talking about 2, 3, maybe 4 grams per day, and it wasn't that I wanted to become a pure light or anything like David Hudson was talking about. It was just that I wanted more of the ideas that I was getting these visions of because it was just something I really enjoyed doing, and I really enjoyed doing research, and I still do as far as that goes, which I'll probably never quit, but I'm doing research on so many different projects now that I have to slow down some because I can't take care of all of them. But I've got projects going on in Las Vegas, some in Utah, several here in Arizona, and some in Washington State, some in Europe, and trying to keep up with all of this is getting a little bit time-consuming. As I'm sure Barry can testify to that also.
But when did you find out about David Hudson and his work?
It was around 1995. I got acquainted with a man in Phoenix, and I did know that he worked for David Hudson, and I still don't know for sure, but I'm fairly certain he did. And he has a doctorate in biochemistry and biophysics, and one of the brightest guys I've ever met in my life. And I got slightly acquainted with him back in 1990, and I don't know, we were doing some research on some black sands out of New Mexico. We were doing a carbon arc smelt on it, and we were coming up with a product that what he found, I didn't find this, he found that it had catalytic capabilities, but it didn't test to be anything. I mean, it showed very small amounts of platinum group, but you couldn't dissolve it in acids of any kind. And it was, you know, some rather strange stuff. But he found out through his research, which he was quite more capable of than I was, that it had the catalytic capabilities. So we knew or thought that it had the platinum group.
Did that take care of it?
But anyway, one thing led to another, and then I got a hold of a video of David Hudson. I think it was 1995. And what I saw of him just fascinated me. And I just wanted to find out what it was. But shortly after that, I've always studied Tesla's work. And I think it was in 1996, after I started taking this stuff, I finally figured out what I think is how Tesla transmitted electricity to anywhere he wanted to, as long as you had a transmitter and a receiver. As long as you had a receiver, you could receive the electricity, put it that way. But he was capable of transmitting it without wires, and I'm quite sure it was done with this white powder. If you set up a certain frequency with this stuff, it becomes a superconductor, and it doesn't have to be touching, it just has to be fairly close as far as the particles go, because the energy field of the particles, it resonates out into a certain distance and becomes a superconductor. And if you have a receiver that can receive what's being transmitted through this, you would have free electricity if that's what he was transmitting. I mean, that's my theory on it anyway. But I don't know. It's just ideas like that and other things that just kept popping into my mind. And, course, Tesla was so far ahead of his time, it was just ridiculous anyway. But he was doing things in the 1920s that people can't even do right now.
Now, do you think that that transfer of energy is instantaneous?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that quite.
Transfer of energy is instantaneous?
Yes, completely.
Why do you think that?
Because of certain things that I'm capable of doing, and not only me. I mean, you're capable of doing it, too. You just probably don't know it yet. And hopefully, by the time that this call is over with, maybe you'll realize that you can do it. People can transmit.
Do what?
People can transmit energy themselves. I mean, you can make changes, especially in water, with your mind. And any of you guys out there that know how to douse, test this by dousing your water and looking for certain components, and then say, I want this water to change to a different component. And it will. And if you're fairly good at dowsing, you'll be able to tell it right away. I mean, Dennis has done this, I've done it, and I'm sure a lot of other people have done it. But you just didn't know you were capable of it. But the reason you don't know you're capable of it is because you've never tried it.
Right.
Now, any of you out there can do this. I mean, I feel that you can. I've been told by certain people that there's just some people that can't do that, and I just don't believe it, really. I think anybody can do it if they set their mind to it.
Have you noticed that you're better at dowsing since you've been taking the Ormus?
I took the Ormus way before I ever started dowsing.
I see.
I mean, I didn't start dowsing till about probably 6 or 7 years ago, but I've noticed after I started taking it again that it is much more sensitive. I mean, it just, in fact, I don't even really have to douse it to find out what I want to know. I can just tell. I mean, I don't know how to explain that other than just saying it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just something that I've been able to, I don't know whether it's nurtured or it just came to me or whatever it is. But when I see something and I can pick up, which I use a brazing rod as my dowsing tool, and as soon as I pick up the tool, I already know what the answer is. I mean, it's just automatic somehow. I don't know how it works, but that's just the way it works with me. But everything that I douse, and if it is possible to prove it by using certain methods or chemistry or smelting or whatever, I don't just go by the dowsing. I go by what I can actually prove. I mean, if I can douse it and it tells me all the answers that I want, then I go out and I actually perform what I was looking for. Because I'm not going to tell somebody, well, they ask me a question and I say, well, yeah, that'll work just fine, and because my dowsing tells me, well, I'm not going to tell them that. I'll tell them what my dowsing says, but I said, you're going to have to prove it yourself by performing whatever the question was.
I believe that a lot more science is done that way than is done purely by logical deduction. I think that intuitive thing happens much, much more often than scientists would give credit for.
I can almost guarantee that.
Yeah.
It's just the type of deal that these people can't come up with these answers by just coming up with an idea. I mean, they have to have something up there that's telling them, okay, this will work and this won't work. And that's just the way it is with me. I just don't know these other people. It would take too much time for them to go through all the tests to find out if it does work. I mean, how many failures would you have trying to come up with an idea, say, in the drugs or in anything, as far as that goes? I mean, you wouldn't know where to start. Or what it would, you know, how it would turn out. But
the same thing with Nikola Tesla. He'd have had to. You're breaking up.
You're cutting in and out.
We keep finding out ways in which Nikola Tesla was so far ahead of everyone else that it's just.
It had to come from somewhere,
yeah,
Barry.
Exactly.
So I'm not saying that I'm a psychic or anything else like this, but I do have certain abilities that I guess you could say I'm blessed with or whatever. But at the same time, if I can come up with these answers and then go out and try and prove that the actual dowsing part of it works, then that's proof enough to me that it is a useful tool. And Dennis and I have done dowsing experiments, and it's people keep telling somebody, you know, well, it's just you're putting these thoughts into somebody else's mind, and they're getting the same answers. Well, there's a way you can get around that, and and we've already done this, and it's not, well, just like with Dennis. I know he's been doing this for a long time. He can come up with his own questions about anything, and he doesn't have to tell me the answers. We can talk on the phone, and I can douse it out from here, and he's in Australia, and I get the same answers he does, and he never did tell me what they were. Now, is this transmitting brain waves, or is this just something that works? And as far as I'm concerned, it works. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know some people that, man, I'm telling you, they do some wonderful things. Just like this friend of mine over in 29 Palms. He's cured thousands of people. I mean, literally thousands of people. And some of you may have heard of Lloyd Meir. Lloyd and I, we worked for some time together until he figured out that I was a little weird. And he got too busy anyway to keep messing around with me. But no, Lloyd he does some wonderful things. He's got three clinics in the United States right now, one in Colorado, one in Washington State, and one in Sacramento, I think, that he visits each month, spends a week in each one of them, and treats these people that make appointments to come there when he's there. And he's the one that showed me how the dowsing can work if you phrase the question right. And the main thing in dowsing is to find out if you have more than one answer to your question. And if you do, then you're going to have to come up with an extra question. And you better have some idea what that question is, because if you don't, it'll run you crazy. But I wish everyone could learn how to do this, because it is such a helpful tool that I think it would benefit everyone. And maybe I can get Dennis to start teaching them. He's already got a written tutorial on these things, I think.
Yeah. So how are you using dowsing on your product right now?
Do what now?
How are you using dowsing with your product right now in terms of changing it or improving it or possibly even using dowsing for other people to determine what might be best for other people or things like that?
Well, I'm going to mention a little bit about this. I mean, I don't know how many people will believe this or what, but we've been doing experiments with this for quite some time. If I find that a certain person, such as Sam, and I know Sam's listening on this, if I program this stuff, and I do this with my mind, I don't do it with any machines. If I program this stuff to help a person, say that has Lyme's disease or, some other ailment that, I don't know, I've done it before, I'll put it this way. People that have certain ailments, I will program the powder for that particular ailment, and it appears that it helps. Now, what we're coming up with now is we're programming the powder for the immune system, and if it will help the immune system, it will help anything. I mean, I hope that makes sense to everybody.
Absolutely.
And actually, I found this out from one of my partners. I mean, he's fairly good at dowsing and everything else, and he said, well, we can boost the energy on this stuff. He said, from a normal, say, we start at 100%. He had some powder that I'd given him, I think, 7 or 8 years ago, and he said the energy in the powder was down to 33%, or about 30%, he said, of what it normally could be. And I told him, I said, well, use the experiment we've been trying with our mind programming and see if you can boost it back up to 100%. So he boosted back up to 100%. He said, yeah, it worked just fine. I said, well, while you're doing that, I said, see if you can boost it any further. And before he was through, he had it three times as strong as it was to start with. But we didn't know we could do this a long time ago. I mean, this is fairly recent on the mind programming of things. I mean, I figured out it could be done, or I think it could be, I thought it could be done about 2 or 3 years ago, and we've been experimenting with it ever since, and it's advanced quite a bit. But this has been, it's been told to other people. And, I mean, a good case would be a guy I know in South Carolina. He called me and said he had a blue tick hound that had mange on his butt. And I said, well, and I knew he was a martial arts instructor also, and I knew that he used a lot of mind control and whatever. I don't mean mind control and controlling somebody else's, but his own. I said, I will give you this frequency number. And I gave him the number, and I said, I want you to project this frequency into some water, and you take the water and put it on the hound's butt, get rid of his mange. 2 days later, he called me and said the mange was gone. Now, this is just some of the things that you can do, and anybody can do this. I'm quite sure they can. I don't think that I'm anything special by any means. But these things are happening.
But let me just recap there, John. You said you basically gave this guy a number, and you said to to project the number by the person's mind functionality into some water.
Yes.
And then give that water with that number just by thought. And the mane just appears off the dog's butt. Is that what you said?
Yes.
So I thought I heard you say.
Well, I said it in plain Okie language. Now, I know, Dennis, you have a little problem understanding my language, but that's the way it is. No, it's.
What do you think that's associated with, that you can program a number into some water and that,
I could,
for that to be,
I could have programmed it.
Listen
to me just a second here. This is to show him that he's capable of doing it. I could have programmed the water from here myself, and he could have given it to the dog, but he would have never known what I did, so I told him to do it, and now he's capable of doing this himself. And this is what I try to teach anyone that wants to learn. I mean, these things can help a lot on different things. I mean, I don't have the answer for everything by any means, but these things, I mean, it's just like the white powder. I mean, we have found a way to boost it, and we hope it works. I mean, we've just done this here recently, but I don't know. Anybody, they may think I'm a little weird by saying this, but I boosted all the powder that is on the planet right now that I've put out, and I think I could do it to all the powder in the world if I wanted to. And it doesn't seem to make any difference on that part of it. I mean, it's instantaneous, and there's a lot of strange things that go on with this stuff, as everybody already knows.
Oh yeah.
But it's the type of deal that people are capable of doing this, and if they just will, you know, put their mind to it and study a little bit on it, and if they can figure out a way to do things, I mean, actually test things. And the only way that I know that you can test it is by dowsing, because there isn't any scientific machines or, you know, anything you can do an analysis on that's going to tell you these things have happened. But I can change things right in front of someone with an AA machine that they're dealing with, say, a standard of 5 ppm of gold, and I can change that thing to where it will not read 5 ppm of gold.
Wow.
And it screws their mind up, but, you know, that's just the way it works. I can also do that with one of these orgone accumulators. I don't know how many people have worked with those, but, man, those things screw everything up.
Mr. Hudson,
Questions from the free room, please. You'll have to unmute before. How do we unmute again, Dennis?
Just hit *7 to unmute, and then speak your questions.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Please speak up louder.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
No?
Just
Hi.
Barely.
Can you hear me
Please
now?
Speak louder.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Hello?
Hello, that's good.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead and ask your question.
This is, excuse my ignorance here, but I asked several people about the Ormus. I don't really understand what this is.
We just start with that. It's probably
okay.
not the question for this forum. because the answer is quite involved, which will require a bit of research. But John, give that your best shot.
Well, if I understood, I couldn't quite hear everything, but I think she asked that she was trying to figure out what the Ormus is.
Yes.
Is that the
That's
gist
correct.
Of the question?
Yes.
Well, what I think it is, I mean, it's something that carries pure energy, but it has to be in a certain environment before it emits any energy. I mean, in other words, it has to connect itself with a certain frequency. I mean, for example, in your body, is putting off all kinds of different frequencies, I mean, from different organs, anything. And as these frequencies touch or come in contact with the Ormus, I think it emits pure energy, and it's kind of like a pure light, and it just wakes everything up. I mean, that's about the good a description as I can give on it. But
I would add that it looks like it's a substance that is in a lot of food, in the soil, in the water, and in that situation, that when you concentrate these, let's call them natural minerals, when you concentrate the natural minerals in your body, good things happen because it improves the communication system in your body. John has been talking a lot about this communication between bits of Ormus here and there and all around the world, and using dowsing and using intention to communicate with Ormus. And I think that's what Ormus does, is it improves the communication system. What do you think, John?
I think that's a very good description of it. It's just something that I feel, and I think I've told you, Barry, when we first met on the phone, that I think it's the building blocks for the whole universe myself. I mean, I'm quite sure of it.
Yeah.
That's what my dowsing shows anyway.
Well, because you can't measure this as opposed to something like glyconutrients, which is a physical substance, but you said that you cannot measure this. So it's on more of a quantum kind of a level.
Yes, it gets into, I guess you would say, into quantum physics, quantum mechanics, whatever you want to describe it that way. But it has the ability, and the way I feel anyway, it has the ability to be activated by certain frequencies. And when the resonance is right, this stuff becomes pure energy. And that, I don't know, it's kind of hard for a lot of people to understand that part of it, but actually that's how it works. As far as I'm concerned, it is.
These are substances that you can measure. You just can't measure them using conventional spectroscopic methods. You can weigh it. You can move it around and do stuff with it. It's just that when you subject it to conventional spectroscopy, it does not show up. So because of that, modern science doesn't know that much about it. And since modern science doesn't know about it, they haven't been making sure that these essential nutrients are in our food, or in our soil, or are not destroyed by the things that we do. You follow that?
I think that's another good description too. It's just something that I know on all the tests that I've run it on everything. And what I do is I run it, say, on X-ray fluorescence, and it shows, it'll show silica, and sometimes it'll show alumina, but you can run it on the AA or ICP, either one, and you make up your standards for it and everything else, and you test it, and it is not there. I'm talking about the product that I have here. I can test it with carbon arc, which you don't need a standard, and it shows pure calcium, but I know it's not pure calcium because I take it out of an acid solution. So these are things that, I don't know, if you want to look at it from my perspective, it can be anything in a roundabout way, but it's not metal, it's not organic, it's not inorganic, it's not organic, I'll put it that way. But it's in a particle form that is just foreign to the scientific world. I mean, they do not have any way to measure it. I've got several doctors in Europe right now are begging me to tell them what's in it, and I have a little problem doing that because I can't tell them. I mean, I can tell them what I think is in it, but that's it.
Well, that's why we call it manna, because manna means what is it?
Well, I guess it is.
How would that relate to measuring chi?
I have a couple of short questions.
How would it relate to what now?
To measuring chi.
I've had people, I'm not familiar with chi other than with the martial arts guys that I've dealt with. They claim whatever they're practicing, like, I don't know the words really, the chi, the tai gao or tai gi or whatever they call it. They said it enhances that to a certain point that they just don't understand it, and especially this one guy. He said that everything has completely changed in his life, and he's a martial arts instructor. I'm dealing with some athletes, or, well, with one particular guinea pig, I call him, that he's now running. He runs 8.25 miles up a 2,100 feet incline in 56 minutes. But the good part about it is he's 50 years old, and he's a federal agent in the Los Angeles area, and he's writing all this down. He's recording every bit of it, and he's now training for, I think I told Dennis it was a 50-mile race. They won't let him run the 50-mile race. He's got to run the 31-mile race first.
Wow.
Then they'll let him run the 50-mile race. So if he can make 31 miles, I don't care how long it takes him. I'm proud of him. But he had a black Labrador that ran with him all the time that the dog couldn't keep up with him. So I sent him some more of this stuff, and I told him, I said, feed it to the dog. And this was about 10, 12 days ago. Now the dog can keep up with him. So it works on animals, too. In fact, there's a pretty good sized one laying right here in front of me, and I'm feeding him the stuff, too. And I think it makes him lazy because he sleeps all the time. Of course, I think it's because he's under the air conditioner.
I've got a question for you, this Richard.
Speak up, Richard.
I was wondering how long it took to notice memory improvement and how soon after you first started taking it and how much you were taking at the time.
I think I heard all of that. As far as the time it takes for your memory to improve, I really, you know, I can't put a time on that because I'm sure it works different on each individual. But when it happens, I'll guarantee you, you will notice it. And in fact, I think I remember you. Richard, you're in London, aren't you?
No, I think. That's the other fellow. I'm in Albuquerque. Yeah.
Oh, in Albuquerque. Okay. Just like I said, I can't give you a time on it, but you will notice it. I'm quite sure of that. And I really can't recommend the dosage as far as the product that I have. But one of the main things that I've noticed on the recommended dosage that I put on the website is, I think, an eighth of a teaspoon. The reason I put it at an eighth is because usually less than that affects women much more than it does men. And if they take any more than that, they seem to act kind of weird. But that's no offense to you ladies out there, but I have been married to three weird women. But no, I'm just kidding about that. It does affect the women more than it does the men.
In what way?
Am I on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
Okay, my name is John here in L.A. First of all, how long are you going to have this sale on for? I see that you offering 50% off. Something. I guess if I order...
It's not 50% off. It's 50% more of the product.
Right. And how long will you have that for?
I'll leave it on for another week.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. Secondly, is there any... how do you ingest it? Do you use any... Do you put it in water sometimes, or is it just a specific way that you use to ingest?
Well, here recently, I'm using... I put it under my tongue, and I take a small amount of water mixed with sea salt. It just seems to... I don't know. I douse myself out, and I'm a little deficient on salt, and I'm taking the salt, the sea salt water, and I just take it that way myself. But that's my way of doing it. But you can put it right under your tongue, and it'll melt in your mouth anyway, whichever way you want to do it.
Right, but you mix it into the salt brine.
No, I don't mix it in. I put it under my tongue, and I do too, after I put the salt water in my mouth, yes. But it doesn't have to be done that
wonderful
way.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, thank you so much. I just want to say also thank you for being so generous with your product. It's beautiful to see you reaching out and just wanting it to be out there, and that's wonderful. Thank you.
Are there any more questions from the free room?
Going once.
Hello, John.
Yeah.
John.
Yes.
Yes. My name is Larry Avedy, and I was curious on how you come up with your frequencies, such as the mange on the dog that you were talking about. You gave him a frequency number. How do you determine what frequencies are needed for a specific type of ailment?
Well, I've got one specific frequency number. If any of you care to write this down, get you a pencil. Oh, boy. I changed my notepad here.
He's lost the number. The secret number that's going to reveal the secret to the whole universe, and John has just lost it.
Well, I've got it written down right over here. If y'all will excuse me just for a few seconds here, I'll be right back.
All right. One thing that I would like to add
about the important number.
One thing I would like to add about the chi. I think that chi is either Ormus that's in the air or an energy carried by Ormus in the air and in water and in food. It may be synonymous with orgone energy, or it may be a separate energy, but it seems to be energy that is facilitated by taking Ormus. So when you take the Ormus, there's more chi energy available.
Maybe it's a cosmic conductor.
I'm sorry about
we're waiting
that.
For John to come in. Oh, John's back.
Now I can't find my number. It's an 11-digit number. I'll tell you what, the easy way to do this...
Just tell them how to do it.
Well, you don't have to have the number. What I do is give the frequency number that I've doused out from Brown's Gas. Mm. I know several of you there are probably familiar with Brown's Gas. Brown's Gas being, supposedly of monoatomic hydrogen and oxygen. And this is the way this stuff works with your projecting certain energy into water or something like this is, okay, I want to project the energy of the Brown's gas into this water. And it's simple as that. I mean, it's actually so simple that I don't know how to explain it really, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could have done that with the same thing on curing the dog. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't had to give him this number, but I think the main reason I wanted to give him the number was because I wanted him to think that he was doing this, and he was. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was actually doing it because I made it a point not to do it myself. I wanted him to do it, and he's capable of doing it, so, you know, and it works. So I mean, that's just the way I was looking at it, trying to teach somebody something. If you do it yourself before, you know, it doesn't do them any good.
There you
when they
go.
Find out they can do it, then they'll keep practicing it. And
teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a day. I mean, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you won't.
So would you please, John, go over that process that you use for dousing for these frequency numbers so someone can therefore douse their way to the most powerful number that they can use for their own upliftment, expansion, freedom, fulfillment, happiness, joy, and total benefit of being in this body, in this lifetime,
well,
in this evolution, right now.
Your little deal on the shower of power, I mean, I never was so surprised in my life as the night we were talking and you asked me how I come up with these ideas, and I said, well, they always come up for them when it's taking a shower. And I had no idea that there was such a thing as a shower of power. You said it to me.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe how many people are using that right now. We've got these things laminated all over the, well, there's several of them in Florida. There's several of them in Nevada.
Do I need your shower or can I use my own?
Yeah, you could use your own. I mean, it works the same way. But Dennis can, well, let's tell you about that. But I just I don't know. There's certain things that you can do with your mind that it's just fascinating, really. I mean, when I can change the structure of the standards that the people are using on the AA machine to completely change it, and they can't read it, and I can change it instantly right back to what it was. And
what is the AA machine, John?
Atomic absorption.
That's what I was wondering as well.
It's an atomic absorption machine.
John mentioned several different kinds of spectroscopic analysis. ICP mass spec, that's instrument-coupled plasma, X-ray fluorescence, and so on. And he just used the initials for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's the trouble with some of these people that dealing this stuff. I mean, we assume that everybody else knows, you know, some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm quite sure that none of you knew what they were, and because before I ever saw one, I had never even heard of one. I apologize for just using the initials, but...
So I'll continue with that question I was asking, John. For the people who are on this call, if you know how to douse, and if you don't, you can make a little donation to Barry, and I will send you the dousing tutorial, and that will get you quickly up to speed. But if you know how to douse, John, tell them how they were doused to this number.
How to douse... For this
tell them
number.
How to douse specifically to get the number.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the frequency number for the Brown's gas.
Yeah, or any number, in fact.
Okay, any number, as far as that goes. It doesn't make any difference for anything. I mean, everything's got a frequency anyway. If you can douse...
So the frequency of upliftment and expansion and joy, it should start there.
Okay. Joy, yeah. The first thing you do is you get your dousing instrument, whatever it may be, or the, you know... plumb bob or pendulum, and or I use a rod myself. And that's the first thing you do is you find out how many numbers, how many digits in the frequency itself. And you say, is it between 1 and 10? And if it says it is, then you say, well, is it more than 10? And if it's more than 10, then you keep going up. Usually it won't go over 11 digits. Now, this is on any frequency I've ever doused out. 11 digits is usually the limit. In fact, I've never got anyone that would go 12 or 13. But anyway, you find out how many digits is in the frequency. Then you say, okay, what is the number of the first digit? I mean, is it between 1 and 5, or is it between 5 and 9? Because all of these frequencies, the way I do it anyway, do not have any zeros in them. They're all, 1 through 9, actually. No zeros. So you keep dousing. You say, okay, is it 1 through 5? And it tells you whether it's 1 through 5. Then you go through 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And the dousing instrument will tell you when you hit the right number. Now, whether you use a, depending on the instrument, you know, you'll know what your yes and no answer is by your instrument. Then you write that down, and you go to the second number, and you keep going until you get that frequency number.
In other words, you go, is it 1 to 5? Is it 6 to 9? And you, and I got 6 to 9, so therefore you go, is it 6? No. Is it 7? No. Is it 8? Yes. Okay, so the 8 is my first number. And I go up to the second number. Is the second number 1 to 5? Yes. Okay, good. Is it 1? Is it, no. Is it 2? No. Is it 3? Yes. Okay, so your second number is now 3. You do that until you get all 11 or whatever it is numbers, yeah? That's what you're saying, aren't you, John?
By the way, you're correct, Dennis.
Yeah. So there's an interesting experiment for the people on this call to do. If you want to doubt the number that's going to activate the frequency you want in your life, you can doubt what it is and find out if it does. And I would love to hear some feedback on the forums from your results. For those of you who do have the ability to doubt, I would love to hear some feedback on the forums about that, because that's really simple.
I'm going to announce the winners, and then I'm going to cut off the free room.
Yes, the winners. The winners of John's powder.
Andy M., Aaron E., and Janet D. And that Aaron is...
But these people got short last names, haven't they?
R-I-N.
Well, tell them.
Can you say them again, Barry?
Andy M.,
yep.
Aaron E., and Janet D.
Is that Janice or Janet?
Janet. And I will send you the contact info, the emails
okay.
to people.
That'd be great.
Janine was hoping it was Janine, not Janet. Well, congratulations to those people, some of whom are probably not on the call because they haven't heard those names announced, unless they're less incognito today. So fabulous.
Are we running out of questions?
No, hell no. We're just getting started. In the benefactors room, who has got questions for John?
I do.
Who's I?
This is Sally in Colorado.
Hello, Sally.
Okay. When
someone's got a dog barking in the background, can you please move to another room?
Yeah, I can fix that just a minute.
Don't go away, though.
Is that better?
Much better.
Okay.
Yep.
The question, one, I read a book called The Megasus, who was a healer who used yin chi. The book was written by Costa Denanos, a Greek who worked for General Dynamics, and he really believed the yin chi was orgone, and it's absorbed into the body. What I want to ask is, on the testing, the amount, when you test your blender water to see if you put too much magnetism on the salt, is that called gauze, and how do you do that?
Barry, you're going to have to answer that one. I'm not familiar with the magnetic water situation.
If I were working with John's powder, and I would put it possibly in water and shake it in a magnetic dirr, is that what you're thinking of?
Oh, no. Yeah, I was thinking of, successing the water in regular salt water. Right? But my mom's 90, we've been doing the blender water, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes I forget it, and it runs for about 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and I thought maybe I overdid it, and there was that post on the forum that said you had to be a little careful how much magnetism you expose it to, and there was a way
right.
to measure that.
Right.
And so I was wondering how to do that.
Well, Sally,
well, I would just measure it by the time you spend on it, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Sally, aren't you the one that's taking care of your mother?
Yeah.
Okay. When you mentioned your mother's problem on there, I went ahead and programmed yours for your mother.
Oh, really? That's great. That's great.
I mean, I hope it works.
It's a bit tricky to get her to try new things, but if I do it with her, then usually she's okay. So... Okay, and I was wondering if you charge the power up, if you're putting yin chi, which is like orgone, or like earth energy, or you're, when you charge your powder up, if you charge it up for the immune system, say, but
yes.
then, and so that strengthens the immune system, it makes the immune system stronger. But what about the pathogens who are opportunistic on the immune system, and they utilize the cells in the immune system as their growing mechanism? Do you think you're putting yin chi, which is like orgone, or like earth energy, or your, when you charge your powder up, if you charge it up for the immune system, say, but
yes.
then, and so that strengthens the immune system, it makes the immune system stronger. But what about the pathogens who are opportunistic on the immune system, and they utilize the cells in the immune system as their growing mechanism? Do you think
was now 3 number?
Oh, okay. I can't give you I can't give you a doctor's opinion on that, but this stuff works in a completely different way, and it has no effect, I mean, as far as they've been able to tell in the trials that they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
It has no effect on any medicine. Now, I can't say that it feeds on what the immune system puts out, because, you know, that's just something I don't know, but as far as I can tell, it can't do it. I'm dowsing it right now is the reason I'm saying this. But that's about as good an answer as I can give you.
Okay.
Well, the answer wasn't specific, John. When you say it can't do it, what was the it?
Say that again.
Explore.
Well, your answer wasn't specific, John. So when you said it can't do it, the it wasn't specified.
Oh, I say she mentioned the, I don't know, I think she was giving it in doctor's terms. Or it's whatever was feeding on the drugs that she or her mother was taking, that it was feeding from the immune system. In this case, it can't do that. I mean, that was the it that you're talking about, I think.
So it would block the pathogen.
Yes.
It would block the germ, the virus. That's interesting. That's really...
Here is what I would guess, Sally. I would guess that it improves the communication system between the immune system and the body, the very vast mass of cells in the body. It improves that communication system so much that anything that might conflict with that would be diminished.
That's a good way to put it. Thank you. Okay.
Well, I'm glad somebody got somebody on here that can explain these things better than I can.
Thanks, I appreciate that. I'll open the floor to someone else.
Is that another question coming on? Another question from the benefactor's room?
I have a question again about the Ormus. What is the experimental use of Ormus with agriculture? Have people experimented with Ormus with agriculture?
Have you done any experiments with agriculture, John?
Yes. It's fascinating. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the guy says, well, it's not much fun watching grass grow, but it is fun watching flowers, tomatoes, onions, all kinds of vegetables. One guy right down the street here I'm working with on this have been for the past 2 years that we're putting it into the water and feeding it to the plants. And I'm working mainly with Brown's gas, but I do some programming with my mind and all this stuff, and it's just fascinating what it does. But there's, I don't know, Barry's got some websites on there that gives you a lot of information on that, which we're trying some of this on some orange groves in Florida right now, that it increases production so much that it's just hard to believe that somebody hadn't been doing this a long time ago.
Wow. So what kind of results have you got?
Well, with flowers, I mean, just to give you a good example, on germination time on, I can't remember, I'm not too much of a green thumb myself, but...
It even works for people without a green thumb?
Evidently.
Cool.
We planted these seed. We started from seed on this stuff. It was some type of flower. Mm-hmm. It was different colors, I mean, you know, and everything. But anyway, the germination time on these things is something like, I think it was something like 72 hours. This thing was coming out of the ground in less than 34 hours.
Wow, half the time.
Yes, I mean it was just fascinating. I mean, I was using the Brown's gas water, as I call it, on this, and I gave him the water, and I told him, you know, put it on these and don't put it on these, and then we went by that little deal. But this was last year. I went to Las Vegas and went up there to meet some people, and I came back the next day, and I saw him down at the restaurant, and he came in there, and he had the strangest look on his face, and he said the damn things are coming out of the ground already. You know, just like that. And I said, what in the world is going on here? Of course, we didn't expect it to happen that fast, but it did. But the one thing that we found was we overdid it on some of this stuff. We gave it too much on some of the flowers, and we planted some more later. Flowers started growing so fast, the stalks on them, they looked like they were deformed.
Wow.
I mean, it would go straight up, and they were super strong. But the flowers were beautiful. They were so colorful. It was just hard to imagine how colorful they were. But we started using a weaker form. In fact, we cut it 20 to 1, and it did the same thing. But it didn't create the deformity of it. It just made them grow natural, but it made them grow about in less than half the time that it normally takes for the flowers to bloom. Half the time, it would they would be blooming, you know, right away. But the thing that we found also is you can't do your test too close together because there's some kind of a deal going on there, and it's more than likely what Barry's talking about is communicating, because some of the flowers that we weren't feeding started coming up the same way. Not quite as fast, but
because they were close.
Yeah, they were within, I think, about 3 feet of each other.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's
that's what Dr.
Underground.
We put Sheldrake calls their connectedness of consciousness, or what the hell is the name that he used for that? It's going in my brain.
Epimorphic field, Dennis.
Yeah, that's right. And he gave an example of the 100th monkey effect, or the 100 monkeys that grew on one island. Started this practice of washing their potatoes in the ocean water. And after around about 100 monkeys started doing this on this one island, the monkeys on the other island, both islands were being observed by anthropological inspectors and researchers, instantaneously, the other monkeys on the other island, without any connection or communication between them, just immediately started doing the same thing. And he named that the morphogenic field of consciousness, or consciousness is created, is connected, and when things are together, they tend to communicate with each other exactly, they adopt each other's points of view. And so it sounds like what one plant was doing, it wasn't receiving these nutrients, just effectively got the psychic nutrients. Is that what you observed, John?
It's about the same thing, yes. I don't know, it's just hard to explain, but I... Just like I told Jerry, the guy that was planting the flowers, he used to run a nursery. Of course, you know, he knew a lot more about it than I did, and he said he'd never seen anything like it. But I told him, I said, well, I think we've got them too close together, and I didn't mention communicating, but I said somehow or another the energy has migrated over to the other flowers. But the other ones were growing, I guess, what you would call normal, but a few of them were growing almost as fast as the ones we were treating. So we never did get a clear picture on that, but we're doing it again this summer. But I think everything down there would burn up now because it's been over 110 degrees here for the past 20 days.
I'll be very interested to learn whether this helps them to be more tolerant of heat.
I think it will. I haven't checked on it this week, mainly because I didn't want to go outside, but I'm sure he's still watering his plants and everything down there, but I'm sure he's having a tough time with it because it is extremely hot here.
Yeah. It's also possible that the underground organisms, the fungi and so on, are spreading rapidly and communicating with the other plants nearby. I noticed that they spread out from the area that I treated one year and probably conveyed the ormus into those other areas.
Well, I actually believe that happens. The experiment we're trying now is we're not putting the water into the ground. We're spraying it on the trees. This is on an orange grove in Florida. And this, well, the guy that owns the orange grove is one of my partners. But he's got the whole setup for it, but he's going to spray, I think, something like 40 acres of the trees, and he's just going to spray the water on the trees. He's not going to put it in the ground. He's going to use the regular irrigation system he has, which I think is going to work just as well, if not better, because all it has to do is absorb the water, and I think the communication starts right there.
There you go.
And it doesn't have to be done very often. I mean, I'm taking this as a reference from some of the research that I've seen on the websites there of how little they have to use to make these things start happening.
Yes, and it is amazing, and you're right. That's a good confirmation that if you put too much on, it can cause it to grow too fast, and that can be deforming.
I know that you're probably going to gripe at me for doing this, but I didn't take any pictures of this. But when I get it right, I will take pictures.
Can I ask one more question?
Go ahead.
When you were doing these experiments with the plants, did you notice that the the actual, because it obviously that would stimulate the immune system of the plant. Did you notice that there were less predators? There were less, you know, insects and.
Yes, the insects didn't seem to bother these plants at all.
Uh-huh, that's interesting.
And we have plenty of insects out here. Believe me, they got some weird little boogers that I've never seen before.
Hey, John, this is Adam in Ashland, Oregon. I've got a question for you.
Sure.
Could you talk a little bit about the path that's led you, after having personal experience with this material for so long, to, you know, kind of making yourself public, outing yourself, if you will, and making it available to all of us? I think it's a pretty remarkable thing, and I imagine there's a pretty good story behind that.
Why I started doing it?
Why you started bringing it out and offering it to us?
Well, I guess I needed something to do, for one thing. I thought that, you know, possibly I'd make a little money at it, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story on it, but anyway, the part that really got me going is I wanted to see if it affected other people the same way it affected my friends, because everyone that I've given this stuff to is still alive, and some of them are a lot older than I am, thank goodness, and they're all feeling very good, and that part of it just made me feel good, and I thought, well, maybe I can help some people. And I contacted Barry, and I contacted, I think it was Sharon, and I said, how do I go about this? And they helped me along, and here I am. I'm really fascinated by what it's done to this point. Hopefully I get some very good reports out of Europe, and we'll see what happens on that. But so far, it's really worked wonders, and I hope it continues. The dog's loose.
Could you repeat that question?
Which question? Oh, yeah.
There was just some dog having some input.
He must not be telepathic, because mine never jumped.
Hey, John, this is Ed. Ed, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Since I've taken your white powder and I've been taking some mountain manna and awesome water and stuff like that,
yeah,
I've been starting to feel quite lethargic instead of energized. Also, I've been kind of building my own water traps, and so I've got a lot of magnetic fields around me, and I'm wanting to know kind of what I'm doing here to kind of be doing the opposite of what I want to do, is feeling more energetic.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard for me to give you an answer on that. I just, I don't mess with anything other than the Brown's gas water and the white powder itself. And I've found through the dowsing, of course, that magnetic fields doesn't have any effect on it. But the way you're doing it, maybe it does. I just can't give you an answer on that.
Sometimes I think that more is merrier. So with this water or this blender arrangement, I went down and got my own blender and started piling magnets on it, and maybe I overdo it.
How long has the effect been going on of the lethargy?
Probably a couple of months now.
I was lethargic for probably 3 months when I first started taking Ormus, but like a lot of people, I tried to take as much as I could, and sometimes when you take too much, it brings about a detox reaction that will make you feel tired or whatever as the toxins are leaving your body.
Well, I can understand that. It's not as though I feel like I'm getting rid of anything. It just feels like every few hours I've got to come in here and take a good long nap.
You know, that's associated with an increasing of your like an evolution of your whole psyche requires a big upgrade in your frequency, and your psyche will require a lot more sleep. And I've noticed a lot of my metaphysical friends have required a lot more sleep lately than they used to having, because they seem to be doing a lot of deep processing, and there's a very good possibility that that is what's going on.
So I just need to hang in there and it'll pass?
Yes.
We hope so. But
I would think so.
Okay, I'll hang in there then.
I would say enjoy it.
Yeah. Also, what I've been also doing is doing a lot of hemisync and binaural beat type of work.
Yay.
Which brings me down into the theta and the delta. I don't know if that's is compounding that part of it.
Let me suggest you do some grounding work as well, some physical activity.
Is that Thomas?
Yeah.
It is.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've heard that I could pack too much energy in there, and I need to release some, because you can't keep holding your breath and keep bringing the breath in. You got to breathe out sometimes. So, yeah, I'll do more grounding stuff. Appreciate
it. One of the things that I noticed very strongly was when I would take people through the shower of power exercise a few times, they would get such a big jump in the level of consciousness that they were existing in, that I had to make sure that I took them outside to walk around on the grass on their bare feet for a few minutes before they left, get them properly grounded. It's really
yeah.
important when you have a big elevation to make sure you're properly connected to the earth. And the fastest way to do that is barefoot on the soil, on the grass, and
yeah.
even more positively, on the sand in ocean water. That's the fastest, the best.
Well, I'm next to the ocean here, so I'll go take a rock.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. A little note on that. I used to meditate a lot, and then if I did a lot of meditating or whatever, and then I'd go to a dance, I could walk and talk fine, but once I got out on the dance floor and started trying to dance, it's so I lost all of my ability to dance.
Hmm.
And my partner would look at me kind of crazily, and I'd say, okay, I've got to go hug a tree for a while. And then I'd come back in, and the skill of dancing would be there again.
Wow.
And it's just so, yeah, I just need to go do that again. That's the answer.
Any other questions from the benefactor's room?
Yeah, I've got one. This grounding thing you're talking about is that I've practiced that a little bit too. Of course, I get grounded in the shower every morning, but it seems to have quite an effect on you, really. And
a very big effect.
It's just something, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, but it works.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ways of grounding is eating.
Yeah.
Is what?
Also,
eating.
Another question I had was, this is Ed again.
Yeah.
Is in my shower, I put a, I've got a bunch of those ring magnets like Barry had on his mini trap. I've got about six of those in the series, and I'm passing water through a tube to bring the water through that into my shower. Is it important to have the orientation of the magnet a certain way for a shower hookup, like if it passes through the South Pole first, then the North Pole, or vice versa?
I don't know, Barry. You're going to have to talk to him. I don't know that one.
I don't know. I think that it's probably not important. I don't know.
I don't think it's important. This is Thomas. I don't think it's important unless you think it's important.
Well, I was talking to the people that was selling the magnets, and I noticed off to the side that they was making this magnetic arrangement to put on your household water line, and they always brought it into the north field first and then the south field. In other words, they had a flow direction as far as the poles are concerned. They said that worked the best. I don't know what their research was on it, but to break up the mineralization, they had to orient it a certain way.
How would you douse that, John?
I don't know what question to ask. I mean, other than which way you would set up the magnets, because
how do you tell which
is north and which is pole? Is it north first? Tells me it is.
Yeah, same with me. And another question you might ask yourself is it just north and then south, or is it most benefit for north, south, north, south, north, south? And my dowsing says that's also valuable. And if you, there's a fabulous video you can get called Stairway to Heaven. And it's put together by a guy who did a whole lot of research on the energetic equivalent of the extraordinary cathedrals that were built mostly in Europe. And the energetic equivalent these days are the crop circles that are appearing in fields all over the place, particularly on sacred sites, the strong energy sites in Europe. And the interesting thing about, the reason I'm saying that is that these cathedrals are often designed so they've got windows that have got six fingers and then five fingers and then six fingers and then five fingers and then six and then five, because I can't remember which one it is, that six represents the male and five represents the female, or the other way around. And so effectively they're alternating, and so you walk past these things and they alternate your energy, positive, negative, yin yang, female, male. And so therefore you get the same effect by using north pole, south pole, north pole, south pole, north pole, south pole. Bit of a long way of explaining that, but I think, in fact, just when you were saying it about the shower, I walked into my shower and I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put some north magnets and south magnets, north magnets, south magnets on my shower head, just so I get that energetically charged water. Because already in my shower, I already have a power pyramid a free-sized power pyramid based using rose quartz crystals. It just increases the quality of my shower. Sorry, I just got into a bit of a rave there. That does address the possibly usefully the issue of magnetic direction, and my suggestion is therefore north south.
Since I have six of those magnets in series, spaced about 3 inches apart, could I be in too big of a magnetic field passing the water through six of those?
Somebody is going to have to answer that one. No, I don't.
I get no.
John, I got a question if I'm being heard.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Gordon from New Hampshire. Earlier, I think I understood you saying something about being able to increase the potency of the white powder.
Yes.
Did I understand that correctly? And are there? Could you give any directions on doing that?
Well, it's very simple. Just think in your mind you want to increase the potency of the white powder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it sounds very strange, but it works.
Okay, so it's a very much intentional projection there.
Yes, but I've already done it, but you can do it again if you care to.
Do you also then... could also be a little bit more modified on that and say you want it to perform more in a certain direction in your life than others? You think that would be also within the realm?
I think you can do that also, and it's just a matter of just more or less, I don't know, it's not training your mind, it's just making up your mind what you want it to do and just ask it to do that. I mean, it's not asking, it's just telling it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to work that way. I can't explain it any other way, really. But you're capable of doing it just as well as I am. Most of you folks out there, you have the same capabilities that I have. It's just, like I said at the first part of this thing, it's just that you don't know you have it. But hopefully today you found out that you can do these things, and I wish all of you the best of luck in doing it, but just try it. I mean, you'd be surprised what you're capable of doing. I've seen it happen, especially with Lloyd Muir over here in 29 Palms. It's just amazing the things that he does, and he's doing it with his mind.
I believe what's happened is his mind has developed the ability to channel the earth energy or the yin chi, which is a healing force, and it actually will penetrate through the chakras of the body, and it also has the ability to manifest in the way that you're speaking. So it would be my guess that when you were taking 3 or 4 grams a day, you connected your mind up rather soundly with universal consciousness, which now acquiesces to your request. But it is a universal thing that the ancients in the East have known this for a long time. We're just learning now over here.
Well, I noticed it a few years back, you know, that some of these guys that I know, we always playing jokes on each other, and we're very close friends, and all of them douse. And I had this guy dousing a jug of water. I said, well, this has got a given amount of gold in it, and we have certain numbers depending on what form the gold is in. And we go from, from 28 to 28 and a half, 27 and a half, up to 31 and stuff like this, which the pure gold is 33. And I told him, well, it's got to do with the electron structure. But I'm not going to explain that one right now because it's a little crazy. Anyway, I had this guy named Bob, and I told Bob, I said, just, you know, check this jug of water and see what form the gold is in. And he checked it, and he said, well, it's 31 gold. I said, well, check it again. He said, well, it ain't there no more. It ain't got no gold in it. And I said, well, check it again. He said, well, it's back now. You know, now I'm sitting there changing it back and forth with my mind. And after he did this about 5 times, he knew what I was doing. But he picked
it up. So you're basically disappearing the gold from the guy?
Yes, I was making it disappear.
You're turning the guy's gold off?
Well, he didn't get mad about it, Dennis.
That's so mean.
I was going to give it back to him. but he couldn't figure out what was going on, and then once they dawned on him, he said, you're changing that with your mind. And I said, yeah. I said, how did you know? And he said, because I just started changing it myself. He said, I didn't know I could do it either. and we've been doing it ever since. And we do it all the time. And we're doing some experiments. We've actually created measurable gold and distilled water with our mind.
Okay, that was the next question that I wanted to go to, which is like this. have you been able to create sufficient gold with your mind into a solution to actually get the actual metallic gold out?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say that.
We also took rhodium, platinum, and palladium out also. In different...
Now, for those of you guys that remember that I mentioned that, that John is also a bit of a wheeler and dealer in platinum group metals, what occurred to me, my sneaky mind just went, you mean John sits around and just makes gold up and then sells it?
No, I don't do that. If I did, I wouldn't be hanging around here. I'd be in a hotel in Vegas. No, it's a very minute amount. I know a guy in southern Illinois in some junior college up there that's been studying frequencies for quite some time. He's got a frequency generator that he actually creates emeralds with from pure water. He creates emeralds.
Emeralds.
Little green emeralds. Very small ones. But he thinks he's got it to a point now to where he can use them commercially. I don't know what they use them for, but whatever. But these things are being done everywhere. I mean, there's guys, I know two guys over at Los Alamos Labs that they're creating gold. And much more than I did with my mind. They don't know whether it's going to be commercial or not. But they're doing it from pure water.
Mm-hmm.
Because water has everything that you need in there to make anything. I mean, any element can be made from water.
Yeah, John, I
you
know.
You just said something that it would be news for most people. Would you say that again in another way?
I have one last question.
Okay.
This is Marty Cook in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I was just wondering, John, if you could tell us, just basically how you make your powder. I mean, I know I don't want you to give any trade secrets or anything, but is it basically like the dry method, or do you derive it from gas, or do you start out as powder? How do you get it?
I take it straight out of the desert sands. I use an acid solution to break the stuff, I don't know exactly how it works, but what it does, it puts the white powder in solution, and it's completely invisible. And then I use another acid that acts as a catalyst, which makes the white powder form, and it forms rather quickly after it starts, and I usually do on what I'm doing now, I usually do about 22 to 25 pounds of the dirt at one time, and I use usually somewhere around 5 to 6 gallons of solution, and out of that 22 to 25 pounds, I'll get about, 1.2 to 1.5 kilos of the white powder.
Use a base at all?
A base? What do you mean by base?
You don't take the pH up?
No, I take the pH down.
And all of your process is on the acid end?
Yes. That way you have, I actually add hydrochloric acid to it to keep the pH down so it will have no base metals whatsoever in it.
Oh, wow.
So all the base metals are in a chloride form and they're washed out with clean well water.
Cool.
I was wondering, I have heard that it's hard for gold to become ormus in the summer months. It resists that. Have you experienced that?
No, I really haven't. I don't think that's quite true in my case. I know it may be in other people's, but it's very consistent what I'm doing now. I mean, winter or summer, it doesn't make any difference.
Do you have any idea what the mix of ormus elements is in your product?
Yeah, I do, and you're going to have to understand this is all done by dowsing.
Right.
It's in particles, or it's what I think in the scientific world would call particles, and I've studied quite a bit about this, that there's lots of particles out there that they have no idea what it is, but the particles that I find in there is a mix of all of the platinum group and gold only.
Mm-hmm.
The other metals are not present.
Like copper or cobalt or
no, none of that. But
rare earths?
No rare earths, nothing but platinum group and gold, and that's it.
Okay.
But it's the particles are coming, the main part of it is coming from rhodium. It's 57% rhodium, it's 24% gold, it's 8% iridium, 4% platinum, 3% palladium, and approximately 2% osmium and ruthenium. The ruthenium is slightly lower, and so is the osmium as far as that goes, but there's an unknown in there that what comes out is something I studied a long time ago, and this was from a group up in Tennessee. They were trying to catch these particles coming from the atmosphere or from outer space that were going completely through the Earth, and they were trying to catch them in a real deep cave in Tennessee.
Right.
And they'd set up their instruments and everything else trying to catch one of these things and see what it decayed into. And I don't know, some guy came up with the word gluon, and I started dowsing around trying to find out what this unknown was, and it shows to be the gluon.
Huh.
The gluon appears to be acting like the electrons do to hold the atomic structure of all elements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, electrons, of course, they're in orbit around the nucleus of all atoms, and this particular deal appears to be in orbit around all of this stuff that I just mentioned in the particle form.
Mm-hmm.
And what I couldn't figure out, or just here lately, is even if it does that, and I imagine this puzzles a lot of people, a monoatomic particle is very small and should go through just about anything. But if it's conglomerated or stuck together, like it is with this powder.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is my belief, of course,
right,
that the gluons is what makes it go together like this. That,
in other words, it's stuck together with something other than valence bonding, other than the bonding of electron bonds.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
But it's something that's extremely hard to explain. I mean, the guy, it's like they wanted to know, so how do you keep it in a plastic bag? It should go right through there. And I said, well, it should. If it wasn't so big, it would.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to know, well, how do you get a big monoatomic particle? And I said, there's a whole bunch of them stuck together. And it's just a natural phenomenon, I guess. That's the only thing I can say about it. But
right. Here
it is.
Well, David Hudson mentioned in his lectures that he said you can't have a one-man army. And he said that these things are all marching in cadence, are all coherently connected in some way. And that connection, he suggested, may be as strong as the electron connection.
Well, it's not exactly an electron. It's something else, and it more or less acts like an electron.
Right.
That's about the only way I could figure it out, because I knew something had to be holding this stuff together, and that's the only thing I could come up with.
Well, there was a recent post that I sent forwarded from a physics forum to the Ormus Science Work Group. Are you in the Science Work Group?
No, I'm not.
I'll forward it to you, because it suggests that they have found some new particles that are involved with superconductivity, specifically high-temperature superconductivity.
Yeah.
And I think it might be interesting.
Yeah, I'd be interested in reading that. I've studied this stuff a lot on this particle. I mean, just like particle beams, I mean, used in weapons and stuff like this. And there's a lot of stuff that is probably known out there that the public still doesn't know about.
You bet.
You know, in fact, I'm sure of that. But I've worked with a lot of weapons in my life, and there's some fascinating stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
I spent several years in the Army and in special weapons units, and I just I found out about a lot of stuff that I don't think that they were wanting me to know about, really.
And I think they wouldn't want you to talk about either.
Well, it was just a lot of really weird stuff that's never been used,
yeah.
And they don't need to use it, I hope. But it's,
I was wondering,
yes,
along those lines about, you know, protecting yourself from things in the environment. I mean, not only do I live on a lot of high tension lines and a transformer station and a giant cell mast for the entire county police department, but we have in Colorado under 4 ELF towers, or I think they're ELF towers. It's not a harp array. They're ELF towers for the low-frequency sound. And I just wonder if someone anywhere with a little electromagnetic engineering know-how might be building something that you could wear on your person that would alert you if you were walking into an energy field. It would be such a handy thing to have. You know, everybody would want one.
I can measure energy fields by dowsing, but as far as, you know, being around it, I don't know whether I would recognize it or not, because, I mean, I can feel it when I go underneath these power lines. I could run from a nuclear plant here just south of here about 60, 70 miles, but they don't seem to have any effect on me, I mean, physically.
I think it's just the people who live around them all the time. We're not so close to them, and we're in an aluminum trailer, which makes me...
Well, I really don't know too much about that as far as the energy fields go. I do know that the military has worked with energy fields that I hope they never use.
Yeah, amen.
And if you want to go to www.teslas.us, you will see all the Tesla plates that these people make that will massively increase the sweetness and the comfort of your home, and also shield you from the dark side electromagnetic frequencies that lower your functionality, and they're worth having.
www.
I have them at home.
Do you want to send me that email?
Tesla.us.
Tesla? T-E-S-L-A?
T-E-S-L-A-S.us. Research that site for yourself and get the Tesla plates and get a home plate, a house plate, and stick it underneath your bed.
Will you put the
little Tesla plates on your thymus around your neck.
Very useful things to have.
Listen, any other questions from the benefactors room? Because we are running out of moments.
I just have one call.
It's very, very rich and fabulous call, and we're running out of time.
I just have one question.
No more than 2 hours.
Go ahead.
Oh, one last question. When you said for females do an eighth of a teaspoon, would you just recommend that in one day, like one day at a time, an eighth of a teaspoon, or per dose?
Is this Sally?
This is Susan from Canada.
Oh, okay, Susan. Depending on what you want to use it for, I think your body will tell you how much you want to use. But, you know, I just, the 1/8 teaspoon, I had to recommend something, and this is what I recommended for most of the ladies because of experiences with some of them just taking just a small amount. I mean, it was less than 50 milligrams, and it seemed to knock their hat off. But, you know, I really can't tell you what dosage because it takes different dosages for different people.
Okay. Yeah, the very first time I ever tried it, I tried it at night, and I didn't sleep all night, and I took, like, nothing. It was just a few granules. And now I've noticed I'm taking more and more. Like, I love it. But I was just wondering if I don't really measure it. I just sort of stick the end of a fork in there. And
that's what most people do.
Yeah, okay.
And some people just take a toothpick and wet it and stick it down in there and just take that very small amount, and they get, you know, very strange effects out of it. But other people, you know, take, just like I know some, are taking a half a teaspoon. I wish everybody would take a half a teaspoon. I could probably sell more of it, but you know, it doesn't make that much difference. The thing that
I've been taking about a level tablespoon lately.
You've been taking that much?
Yeah.
Of the stuff that I sent you or somebody else?
No,
okay. You take that all at once?
Well, I have it the same. I have a heap teaspoon.
Yeah, I take it in my yogurt.
Oh, I see. The thing that Dennis was talking about a while ago has got a lot of merit to it about these little, what do you call them, amulets or whatever. These things are made from titanium.
Yes.
Titanium has some very strange quality, and I mean some very strange stuff. And I can, in fact, I'm intending to do some research on some other things with certain people on using titanium on seawater that I think is going to work very well. So we'll find out more about that later, I guess.
Now, listen, John, since you've been such a mine of information, I think we should have another call with you maybe in a few months, because just we've only tapped into some of the stuff that we've talked about. We'd easily do another one of these. Any last question from the benefactors room, because I've got a bail going once, going twice.
Dennis, you can give that website for those amulets very slowly.
Yeah, they can
understand. Sure, Tesla.us
I'm still having a hard time understanding that.
That's TESLAS.us.
TESLUS?
Tesla, with a T.
Okay, thanks.
By the way, Michael Burberry claims that he has made formas from titanium.
I believe it.
He's a complete freak and a wizard, that guy, masquerading as a normal bloke.
You better check him out and see if he's Oklahoma.
So listen, I'm going to pull the plug on this thing because we are almost at 2.5 hours in the next 5 minutes or so, and so this is the longest call we've ever had. And I thank you very much for joining us for the call. Have you enjoyed it, John?
I really enjoyed it. Maybe we can do it again.
Cool. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you on the next call.